producers.
And let's talk some about your tools then. We talked Pro Tools, and you're a Mac guy, which is understandable. I've become a Mac guy when it comes to audio production.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that must have in your studio? You know, software or hardware? Some of the things that you use all the time.
Hardware is out of the question, man. We're so software driven in our studios in Dubai that I've spoken to Dragos, my manager, and said, look, can we get the UAD 1176 limiter for? Software wise, I mean, Pro Tools, of course. We've got the Waves plugins. I use the Waves plugins, and I use the Sonox and the Sound Toys plugins a lot.
Sound Toys. I love the Sound Toys.
Yeah, Sound Toys is amazing. It's some of my favorite plugins there. And recently, I bought this myself. I got the Mic DSP plugins as well. So, I really, really love those plugins. I mean, I think they're incredible.
I've mentioned Dave Pensado, famous, amazing, epic producer.
Yeah.
Does his YouTube series. And he was asked, you know, his Desert Island plugin, and one of them was the Mic DSP, one of the EQs.
Yeah, I think it's filter green. Bank, yeah. The filter bank, that's what it is, the filter bank EQ, the E6.
Yeah, that's something I want to get my, E6. That's something I want to get my hands on, and so you like that.
It is incredible. It just, I mean, I don't know what it is that Colin McDowell does that with that plugin. It sounds brilliant. It sounds great on voice. It sounds great on music. It sounds great on anything. It sounds really, really good. I mean, it's like a go-to plugin for me at the moment because I just recently upgraded. Apart from that, otherwise, the other go-to plugin for me was the EQ3 default EQ in Pro Tools. I love that plugin as well. I mean, it's a great EQ.
Did you get it? Have you gotten into the Air plugins since Pro Tools has released those? Do you like those? Do you use those?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the Air plugins as well. I use two of them predominantly. One is the Air Vintage filter. That's the one I use the most. I use
on voice mainly.
On music, actually, I use it to filter down. You know, phasing in and out of music, basically. You know, I use it like that. And I use it as to sweep in. And I use the filter gate. It's a really, really cool plugin. It's a filter gate, and I've used that more often than not when I'm producing the news jingles and the news themes for the stations. I've used that because it gives this very cool arpeggiated sort of a sound, and you can mix how much you want of it in a little pad or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I like those two plugins a lot. I'm happy with the Air Reverb as well. I try not to think too much about Reverb. It's not one of my favorite plugins.
I've never liked it, especially on voice. I think it makes everything sound super dated, so I've stayed away from it.
No, I've stayed away from that too. So a delay, yes. Delay, I use Echo Boy.
Yes.
From Sound Toys.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I use the H delay as well when I'm doing the reverse delays from the audio suite. Apart from that, Meta Flanger.
Let's talk a little specific here about the way you process your vocals. So station voice, first of all, do you who voices your station? We'll talk about radio too. Who's the voice of the station?
Recently we signed up Jamie Fry. I think you might know her. She's one of the Benstown voices.
I mean, I don't know her, but I'm aware of her.
So we recently signed her up, and I think she sounds absolutely great. And if you see her, tell her I said that. We've got a Kiwi voice from New Zealand who's a male voice of the station.
Cool.
Daniel Wrightson. So he's voicing stuff out of New Zealand.
That's cool.
Us.
And so you got an American accent on the female, Kiwi on the male in Dubai.
In Dubai, mix
and, what kind of stuff do you like to do? Start with Jamie. What do you like to do to her voice in general?
I like to filter the shit out of it. That's what I like to do. I think Dragos picked up a couple of screenshots of some of the EQs that I had on her voice. I mean, she's severely.
Yeah, you're
going to
give me some good content for the website. That's what we'll let everyone know.
I will definitely be giving you some good content. Screenshots, yes. I don't know about production.
No, it's good. It's good.
I like to mix it up. You see, I don't have one specific EQ that I use. I use probably about five different styles. I try to mix it up as much as I can. Maybe at some level, somebody watching me work would say, "Oh, you're overdoing it," and I'll be like, "Yes, I'm doing it over."
Not the guy who brings in your voice for every single piece of production for the same station and basically makes it sound the same. You don't mind that the voice of your station sounds different all the time?
I absolutely don't mind at all. In fact, I think it depends on what the copy says as well, isn't it? So if I feel like something needs to be underlined or made bold or whatever it is, I'm going to use a different setting for it, and I'm going to use a completely different chain of plugins for it. So
Are you a template guy? Do you kind of have a standard template you use when you're starting to do some imaging, or do you pretty much just start with a new session every time?
No, I do have a template. I mean, it's almost like a blank template, to be honest, but it's just got my track settings. So something I do a lot is because I think I use the template more often than not because I do submixing a lot. I use a voice bus, I use a sound effects bus, I use a music bus, I use a bus for drops. If I'm using, if I'm doing MIDI on a session, I use an instruments bus as well. So I tend to be able to have, I tend to lean towards having the luxury of having just three faders to balance everything out if I have to, three or four,
Actually, do you use any sort of a control surface, or I think you said you had a Sapphire at home. I don't know what you have at the main studio.
At the studio at work, I have the Yamaha mixer, the digital mixer, which is a mixer and doubles up as a control surface as well. So I can switch on to the remote layer and actually have up to about 16 faders to be able to just control, especially automation wise. So we've got the mixer there, and that's routing a ton of signals.
Are you a guy who uses that often when you're working in Pro Tools? Do you have your hand on the mixer, controlling automation and stuff a lot, or?
Because I recently discovered the remote layer on the ONV and I connected it via the cable and everything, I've started doing that just recently. It's not been more than a couple of months since I've started doing that. But because I'm coming from a bit of a music background, having to be able to control more than one fader at a time and write automation on more than one fader at a time, it's kind of impossible to do when you're using a mouse. You have two mice,
right? I don't know how you do it. Actually,
you can't control automation on more than one fader if you're using a mouse. So having the controller kind of makes a huge difference. So because I'm doing that for music, whenever I'm producing any music or whatever it is, I'm a bit hands on that way. I do like having that hands on control, but otherwise, quick automation editing or whatever it is, it's just, I just go in and draw it in, or I just select the area and just drop it down using the mouse. That's fine. I mean, it's not real time, which depending on your skill, it's may or may not be ideal. So,
But it's one of those. It's this deal where everybody's got to find what works for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So certainly,
everything has to work for whoever's working on it. It's good. They've got to be comfortable with whatever they're doing, right? So, if you are comfortable using, Adobe Audition or whatever it is to do your work, then you should by all means do that. There's no hard and fast rule as far as anything production is concerned.
Do you do a lot of work at your home studio for the radio station? Are you one of those guys that's taking work home all the time, or do you keep that very separate?
The thing is, I have the ability to do that. I definitely do. So if I have a moment where I think something just strikes and I can whack something out immediately, I have the luxury of being able to do that. But apart from that, I'm going to say this out there. On some days, if I decide to call sick, I'm literally not sick. I'm working from home. That's what it is. So I have the flexibility, because most of our libraries and our, you know, the production music or anything commercial related is all online. And even when we work with our people from sales, if it's a commercial or something, I'm dealing with them online. I mean, I rarely ever have, because they're people from sales, they call whenever they feel like. Having said that,
salespeople do that, really?
I do have my fair share of people calling in when I'm in the middle of a recording session or whatever it is, but majority of whatever work we do, I mean, we send stuff off online completely. So
we started to go this direction a second ago, but what are your favorite, sound design tools? Do you have services for the station? Yeah. I don't know what you have access to, but what are your favorite stuff to use?
Well, up until 2012, it was very recently that we signed up for Production Vault, and till then I had nothing. I had absolutely no service or anything at all, and I think if you listen to my production from them from that time, it might probably reflect. So I had absolutely no imaging service that I was using, but recently, since we signed up for Production Vault, I mean, more than anything else, I'm using it as an idea base.
Sure.
I think there's some incredible stuff on there. There's some stuff which I just, you know, blatantly rip off and just drop my voice on it, and that's it. You know, my voiceover on it.
That's what it's for, though.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be for, apparently. I don't do sound design myself. I have tried it. I mean, I've tried mixing up effects and trying to use. I've gone as far as, you know, using the scrubber tool on Pro Tools to create those weird scratch or just tape effects and things like that. And I've tried to use white noise and you know the signal generator from Pro Tools to be able to just get, you know, those little beeps and tones or whatever it is, and I've used Structure from which is one of the Pro Tools instruments, and I've, you know, mapped it on a keyboard. I've come up to that level. I'm not by any means a sound designer or anything at all, and I think that's a whole different league of people that do that. So
it's a totally different skill set.
Yeah, it's
for
a
one.
Completely different skill set, and you gotta have a really, really wild imagination, and you gotta couple that with some exceptionally good technical skills as well. So
yes,
you know, it is definitely a completely different skill set. There's no doubt about that.
So Prod Vault. Anything else you like to use? Do you have any other sounds, noises, beats, beds, anything you get that you like?
I actually purchased Fame Effects myself. I actually bought it out of
the
my
Benstown
own
guys.
Money. The Benstown guys, yeah. And
it's good value, though. Yeah.
It is. I like the effects. I mean, I think even the beds are pretty banging, to be honest. I mean, I think those loops are and I like the fact that you have all those mix outs, which kind of really makes a huge difference. I mean, I got Fame
Effects when it came out. The music is very EDM. Leans into the world of EDM.
But
it's great stuff. Those guys are
awesome. If you just split the music from the beat loop or whatever it is, I think it'd be okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, depends on how much of it you want to use. But even though I'm working for an adult contemporary station, I mean, the brief from the PD is keep it hot. So,
yeah,
you know,
well, that's how, you know, hot AC in America is basically going towards CHR. AC is going towards hot AC. CHRs are all just dance stations.
Well, that's
now.
Because of the music industry, isn't it? It's not because of anything else. It's funny. Yep. CHR, in fact, I mean, Radio 1 of late has kind of leaned towards the music industry. And when you listen to it now, you feel like it's kind of toned down in its energy, because that's the music that's coming out. I mean, you don't have, I mean, of course you've got Akon and Will.i.am and now Justin Timberlake has come out with his new single as well. You do have the guys who'll belt out the you know, the urban or the rhythmic CHR hit, but the ones that are leading the charts are not by any means banging. I mean, they're not number one or even in the top five for that matter. Get Lucky was was it three? And yeah, it kind of dries out the sound of the station as well. But what are you going to do? I mean, that's the music industry and that's what people are listening to. Blurred Lines is so dry when you listen to it. And it's
is that song just a sick hit over there?
It is. Well, it's number one on the iTunes chart. See, the thing is, in the UAE, you don't have a chart. You don't have like an official, you know, chart that actually records music sales and does it. I think most countries don't. I mean, it's probably, you know, you'll have a chart-topping hit in the UK and a lot of parts in Europe. And I'm not sure you have a chart in the Southeast Asian countries. I don't think you'll find a chart in Indonesia or something like that. I'm not sure. I might be wrong. But
something before I forget, I wanted to ask you in regards to the way the government interacts with media there. You said there are the public stations,
yeah,
or the government-controlled stations. But, you know, in America, we have the FCC.
Yeah.
Do you have a government agency of some form that controls the content that comes out of your station, you know,
yeah,
fines you for curse words, etc.?
Oh, yeah, there is. I mean, the thing is, you know what? Because you're in such a culturally sensitive area,
yeah,
this
that's
part
what
of the
I was
world,
thinking. Yeah.
You've got to be constantly pulled back in terms of what you put on the air. You've got to be really careful because they will catch you out. And there is a regulatory authority. I think it's the National Media Council, if I'm not mistaken. And then you have the Ministry of Information and Broadcasting as well.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, they're basically like watchdogs. And the unfortunately, though, I'm going to say this out there. It feels like they're only operating as watchdogs. They're not operating in terms of a larger objective where, you know, you set up a proper PRS system and you follow international broadcasting regulations and other things like that. They're just there as a watchdog to catch you out if you've done something wrong. They're not there, you know, in the larger interest as far as...
They don't necessarily help anything.
Yeah,
they just watch for the bad stuff.
I'm not sure if that's how it is in the U.S., but I do know that there are other bodies in the U.S. that actually form themselves. You have unions there, and you have... you have NAM over there, which is a bit of a Disneyland for me. But
have you been? Have you been?
No, I haven't. It's one of my lifelong dreams to actually.
Have you been to the States yet? Have you gotten over here yet?
Yeah, I've been. Okay. My parents were working in an airline, so I used to fly to the States quite often. But then that was when I was really young,
so.
You know.
Yeah.
When I think the last was when I was about when I was about 8 years back, I think. Yeah, that was the last time I went to the States. I haven't been to the States since about 8 years now, and my 10-year US visa expired last year. So I am definitely going to reapply for it.
Well, you'll have to come to Texas one of these days.
I definitely will.
We'll show you Billy Bob's in Fort Worth and some other fun things dealing with cows.
Definitely. I'd listen to country radio as well for a change instead of whatever I'm listening to over here. That would be good.
Can you stream U.S. stations over there?
Unless I use a VPN, no. But
okay, so you have to trick them and make them think you're coming from an IP outside?
I do that all the time, though. I listen to Z100. Fox and things like that. So I listen to that. I've tried to listen to Kiss FM before, but it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't connecting, and it kept throwing some random error at me, saying it. Even though I was connected apparently to Atlanta, it said that I wasn't. You know, what do you call?
Well, people in LA hate the South, so they probably just block it from Georgia.
Probably, I'm not sure.
Just kidding. Where do you get the bulk of your sort of, I mean, not saying you need inspiration, but do you listen to European radio, American radio, Aussie radio? I love Aussie radio, by the way.
Yeah, Aussie radio is ruling the roost right now, isn't it?
they might be doing the best work.
Yeah.
At least imaging-wise.
Yeah, those guys are exceptional. I mean, it's really hard to catch up with those guys. Even if you're trying to, I mean, I don't know if it's an effort that's worth it. Because they'll probably be somewhere else by the time you hit their mark. So
that's true. Where do you go though to get, you know, to get better, to improve your sound? Do you, Dragos? Do you go to him? Is he solid? Do you go?
It's not consistent. I come to your website if that makes any help. I come to your website sometimes. I listen to some.
I've had some pretty talented people on here. Yeah.
Some pretty talented people, and now you've had me. You've kind of dropped your brand.
Right. No, I've widened it. I've widened the net.
Yeah, that's cool. But I think I wrote to you about this recently, didn't I? I mean, I said, have you got any websites I could go to? And then there was this Facebook group that I joined, and that was there's some guys that put on some pretty decent stuff over there, and gets me thinking like, wow, I could put my stuff on there as well.
You can get some great critique there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, some people definitely. And I've seen the names that kind of post over there. I'm like, wow, there's all these people on this Facebook group. Oh my God, I got to start posting stuff there. So I go there. I do the you know, Daryl Misson's website, which is Radio Promo Tips. I go there all the time, but even though it's very Aussie driven.
Yeah, it's an Australian site, but it's real good.
Very old. Yep. Yeah. On a rare occasion, I'll stream. You know, using one of my I've got an iPhone app called TuneIn Radio. Mm-hmm.
Tune in.
I stream some Australian stations there. I stream some American stations. Actually, no, TuneIn doesn't have American stations, to be honest. I don't think they do. I've got to use
it's your version then. I mean, it's all right. Yeah. Go ahead.
The iHeartRadio, that's the one I use for the American stations. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's Clear Channel. Clear Channel and Cumulus stations. So you get about half of all American stations on there.
Well, if there is any other resources that you could tell me of, I'd be more than happy to download the app using my VPN right now. So,
we'll chat. Maybe people can write in and tell you their sort of backdoor. So I've got a lot of people listening outside of America.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you do. Inspiration wise. You know, inspiration for me, it could come from just listening to a fancy new sound effect. I use Pensado's Places a lot because I watch that a lot. I love listening to the producers, the interviews, and I love the Into the Layers that he does. Yes. It's incredible. And even Andy from Benstown, he keeps posting stuff specifically sometimes to do with a new effect. Uh-huh. And effects kind of, you know, a new delay or something like that. It kind of gives me the idea, like, oh wow, I could use that in a promo or a sweeper or whatever. Especially, you know, any fancy new effect that anybody comes up with, I'm pretty happy to get inspired by it and find out. I mean, I get inspired watching a movie sometimes. I don't mm-hmm. necessarily, you know, I do listen to radio production a lot. There's no doubt about that. But I think there are cases when I found myself inspired by other mediums as well. I watch something on TV or even a simple conversation at lunch or dinner can inspire me into writing a new script or promo or whatever it is and put that in action, you know.
We're a bit
restricted because of the cultural sensitivities of the people here in the UAE. So, you know, it's difficult to spoof and it's difficult to make fun of. And I'm not much of a humor guy anyway. I don't have the wit or the sense of humor to be able to pull it off as far as radio is concerned, at least not yet. I'm not sure if I'm going to be working on it. But most of my work is so sound and production driven that mm-hmm. I kind of, and music is probably the best way to go. I mean, you listen to a new piece of music and you figure out how you can use it in production. I think it's the simplest thing to do. And you know, if you're thinking production all the time, like I am, and my wife complains about that too.
Are you the guy driving in the car or wherever listening to the radio that you actually turn down the music, but when the promos come on, you hush everyone and turn them up?
Yes, I am that guy. Yeah. I am that. Yeah, that's absolutely me. That guy. Yeah, I'm totally that guy. And because, I mean, the thing is, because you know what? I've got a background in audio. I'm the audio producer that became a radio producer, you know what I mean? So I'm not just listening out as far as the radio production is concerned. I'm listening out as far as the audio production is concerned as well. So I'm listening out, all right, how's the compression sounding here? How's the automation? Oh, you heard what I did to that? And I go with my wife and I'm like, hey, you listen to the EQ there? And you know, it's I'm an audio nerd that way. I mean, I'm a real audio nerd. I'm probably one of those guys that has 100 plugins and I use all of them.
yeah, that's cool. That's great. Sorry. Well, yeah, we went well. I knew we'd talk for a while, well over an hour. I want to ask you one. Let me ask you two final questions. Just one because I'm curious, and one because I like to ask everybody. Yeah. You know, for you and your career, you've been a successful radio imaging guy for a while. You're in a big market. You know, what's your goal? You know, where does someone like you, where you're at right now, where do you want to be in, let's say, 5 years or 10 years?
That's a real tough one, man. I just
have you put any thought into that, or are you just kind of cruising along, just loving what you're doing right now?
Well, I just want to make $1 million. That's what I want to do. I want to make a lot of money.
Okay. Well, you've picked the right industry then.
No, I haven't really given a thought about it, but I'm thinking maybe 5 years, I guess, something along the lines of creative services, because you see, I mean, the way I see it right now is that I see that, you know, it's not enough just being an audio guy. And unfortunately for me, I am just an audio guy at the moment. So I'm going to spend time trying to figure out a lot of video related stuff, a lot of social media and graphics related stuff. And I'm going to try and figure all that out. And I'm going to give out creative solutions. I guess that's the way to go, because in 5 years time, I mean, it's if you know more than a couple of things as opposed to just one thing.
Sure.
I think you'd have a, you know, you'd be more in demand for your skill set. So, and it definitely seems like that's the way it's going. So I think creative services, if you can offer like a one-stop shop for everybody, you know, for people who want to get their brand out or whatever. Yeah.
This could lead right into this. You may have just answered it, in fact. But then for the young producer out there, I'm sure you know the question, but you know, what's the one key piece of advice you would offer, you know, knowing what you know and where you've been, for somebody that wants to get into this business or be successful at this business?
Which, are you talking about the radio business?
You know, radio imaging production, the radio business in general.
Well, I think, let's put it as the media business for that matter, because okay. I think in the future, media houses are going to be owning radio stations. It's everything, you know. At least that's the way I see it. I do see it. You know, we do have that little rare family-owned radio station that's running in the corner somewhere. But I think as far as advice is concerned, I mean, I'd say just you've got to be obsessed with what you do. That's what I say. I mean, I'm thinking day in and day out as far as audio is concerned, even when I don't want to, you know, to be honest. I can't help it. I really can't, because it's ingrained into me, and I'm really extremely passionate about this. And I try to get, and once you are that passionate and once you are that obsessed, you will make every effort to get better at it anyway, because you're constantly going to spend time learning new things, and you're going to constantly spend time on Ryan on the Radio's website, and you're going to spend time on Pensada's place and Benstown, and you're going to find as many resources to be able to learn new things. So if you are passionate, you will figure it all out, but you've got to have that you've got to have that obsession. You've really got to have that, you know. Yeah. And don't limit yourself. You know, you don't want to limit yourself to being the radio producer guy. You don't want to do that. You want to be as many different, you know. I do live sound for bands. I've you know, hooked up with a couple of guys. I've produced, I've mixed their music. I just tell them, you know, dude, just give me a CD. Let me mix your music for you. And I don't charge them any money, but at least it gets my name out. And people come to me and say, hey, Vish, can you mix the band tonight? And I go, all right, cool, I can mix the band tonight. And then you wind up ending, you know, with freelance work and other things like that as well. So you got to kind of keep your options open. So you've got to keep expanding as well. So,
I like that, though, you know, if you're not obsessed with it, then don't waste your time.
In this business, man. I mean, I don't know about any other business. At least with audio. I mean, I've because I'm an audio student, I've seen my fair share of students that come in, hey, man, I want to be a DJ, and then you know, but a year later, you don't know where the hell they are. You know, mm-hmm. they're nowhere, and they're probably working in a call center or something like that. And that's not because they didn't want to. No, that's not because somebody didn't give them a job. It's because they weren't like crazy about it. They weren't insistent about getting better at it. That's the way I see it. I mean, I think you've got to be mm-hmm. wild as far as, I mean, and there's no reason not to be wild, at least the way I see it. I mean, this is brilliant. I mean, I love this job. I love this industry and I love this work, you know. I'm pretty crazy about it, is it? Yeah.
Well, right on, dude. Great interview, man.
Yeah, man.
I didn't mention it in the outset, but we started at about 11 o'clock p.m. my time and 8 a.m. your time.
Yeah.
And you're a radio producer, so 8 a.m. is way too early.
Yeah,
and it's a holiday for you.
Yes, it's a holiday as well. Friday, Saturdays are weekends in the UAE and other GCC countries. Just a disclaimer for some people.
And Friday, Saturday, it's a weekend. I mean, literally every week, Friday and Saturday are your weekend, and you go to work Sunday morning.
I go to work Sunday morning. Sunday to Thursday is a week. Yes, Sunday to Thursday is a normal working week over here in the Middle East.
That's it actually seems weird to me. I thought it actually could be the opposite, but just because of the support system for the States, a lot of business there is. But anyway.
Yeah, it is. It is strange. But that's why we have problems with voiceovers. We don't have voiceovers on Sunday. That's why we tell the salespeople, oh, I'm not going to send you a script today because I don't have a voiceover, so bugger off.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's an easy way to get out of work, you know. It's like, I don't want to do this commercial today.
Well, right on, man. Well, open invitation to check in with us anytime. We'd love to hear more of your work down the road. You ever want to contribute to my blog, that's wide open to you. We'd love to hear more about. I like to just keep this, you know, the information, you know, very international.
Yeah.
And everybody should feel connected to all parts of the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you're doing a great job doing that as well. And you've got some incredible people on your podcast before, apart from up until now.
including but, now.
But, you know, I've been following Ryan on the radio for quite a while now. It's really, really great to be here on the podcast with you finally and to speak to you and to talk to you about production and radio. So it's been great, man. Thanks for having me here. Thanks.
Well, cool. Vish, thank you so much, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Cheers, man. Cheers.
The producers.
And Vish, episode 59 in the books. Thanks so much. Glad we got to take a peek into the world of radio in Dubai. Dubai has always been a bit of an enigma to me because it's extremely westernized in some capacities. You know, it's still in the UAE. It's an Arab-based culture, but so many people there from outside, you know, that weren't originally from there. It must be a heck of an interesting place to live. And I mentioned it in that interview, I believe. It's been actually like 2 weeks since I did that interview that I'm posting it now. But I've been reading a lot of articles lately about how the economy, it hasn't necessarily collapsed or anything, but a lot of different people that had tons of money there just are disappearing, just leaving their, you know, multi-million dollar apartments completely furnished with all their crap in them. They're just disappearing. And, you know, $150,000 cars are just scattered about the city. It's pretty crazy. It's like one of those places that you can go make a quick buck and probably lose it just as quickly. But the media business seems to be doing pretty well. And so it was really cool to get an inside look into that side of it and also to hear the life and times of an imaging producer in Dubai. So thanks again to Vish. Coming up, like I mentioned, Cousin Deke will most likely be the next episode. Cousin Deke, Clear Channel Dallas, but heard, you know, voice-wise and production-wise all over the country. Super talented guy. And if he's not next, it'll just simply be because he has so much happening right now with Kid Craddock based in Dallas. A lot to be done potentially with that situation. And Deke will have his hands in that. Anyway, so there'll be plenty more great episodes to come. And like I've always said, if you have somebody that I should talk to, please send me. It'd be really awesome. I mean, if you just know of a name, you're like, I don't know the guy, but I know this person. I know of this person, you know, that'd be a great interview. That's cool. If you have a contact for someone, oftentimes I, like you, will have heard of the person, but I don't know him. And then it turns out, even in this day and age, there are It's weird that the imaging producer who spends his days in a dark, cavernous studio, rarely seeing light, is also sometimes the kind of person that really doesn't want to be connected to the world. They don't have Facebook accounts or, you know, visible public email addresses or anything like that. Not very many, but it's funny to me how I've stumbled into a few in this world that are just like, what? Daylight? I'll stay in the studio and play with filters and compression. Anyway, so if you have contact info for the person that you think would make a good interview, I'd love to get that also. Otherwise, what else can I say? I'll mention again, sorry, for Vish. I don't know if I said it. The show notes page, ryanontheradio.com. It'll be linked on Vish's post. Sorry. But anyway, you can see up in the menu, it'll say podcast and there's show notes. And I believe that my lack of using the show notes really screwed up my iTunes feed a while back and people were emailing me. I think that should be fixed. I do appreciate, though, if you ever come across something that's busted, you know, don't think you'll be like one of those people. I would love to hear is all I'm trying to say. I prefer the people that tell me when things aren't working right. You know, I wouldn't get upset. I wouldn't be like, oh, screw you, picky. You know, deal with it. I really do want to hear if you happen to see something, toss me an email. But I think the iTunes feed is working again. I believe what I did to screw it up has been fixed. Anyway, that's all I got for now. Everybody have yourself a great time, and we'll be checking back again here hopefully within about 3 weeks-ish. And we'll talk to more great producers and voiceover talents. For now, bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.